just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
all right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome everybody. This is Devi Happy Hour, episode 15. This is the 15th episode. We are your episode for Devi Knowledge as it pertains to the college football landscape and fantasy football. I don't know why I went kind of rogue on that one. Anyways, you can find us at Twitter at Devi Happy Hour, and our email is devihappyhour@gmail.com. First, I'm going to introduce our two illustrious co-hosts. First up, Mandrew. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Just wrapped up CC Scouting's college show, so I should be all warmed up and ready to go and excited to talk about my boy Keyshawn Vaughn when we get to the questions, but I guess I'll talk about some other players today as well.
Yes. Real quick, he does, I don't know, we don't plug a whole lot of other stuff, but make sure you guys check that out. It's CC Scouting at, that's what it is on Twitter, right? At CC Scouting.
Yep.
Some guys that all met through the Stick to Football Hall of Fame, and they're all like really knowledgeable guys, just love college football. So check those guys out. And our second co-host is Commish McGriff, Matt, Crime Dog, Deltron. How you doing, man?
All the above. Yeah, man. No, I got exciting news today, too. I wasn't doing another podcast, but I got my deer tags in the mail. So we got action coming up here in the next couple months. Yeah, I got my and my Scott Fishbowl shirt came in the mail, too, though. So the mailbox was good to me today.
Is that a medium to fit everything?
It's 2XL, sir.
Hey, you got to show off the Deltron. Come on, man. You got to, it's got to be like a medium, dude. Come on.
I might rip these sleeves off, actually.
So, do you actually have deer in California? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, actually, there's some good zones. I got a premium zone, too. So, I'll be archery hunting in the at 12,000 foot elevation in late August. So, it'll be a blast.
Can you quit being any more of Joe Rogan? Archery hunting, 12,000 feet, deer tags.
Exactly. I will Matt's say I was like doing this before Joe Rogan, though, but hey, he's just more famous.
Matt's like the guy in here. He like can change his tire probably without even jacking the car up. He just picks it up and just changes the tire, hunts deer. Andrew and I are like, we watch like, you know, Frozen all the time. And so like,
I know every word of Toy Story. So.
Exactly. We're like the consummate not guy, I guess. I don't know. And we got Manly Man McGriff over there. So, all right, guys. Such a crazy, crazy thing, man. Like, I tried to hunt once, and I think I was 15, and I shot a deer, and I sat in my stand, and I, like, started to cry a little bit. I'm like, I don't like this. This is just not for me. So, that's me, though. All right, guys. We're going to cut right into the conference preview kickoff. This week, we're doing the Big Ten. This is the week where I wear no pants is what I have wrote down because I love, 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 love the Big Ten. I live right in the middle of Big Ten country. So we're just going to go through, if you don't know, the Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, Maryland, Indiana, Rutgers, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Purdue, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Illinois. So if you don't know those conferences, if you don't know all the teams, some probably don't belong in the Big Ten because there's like 13 teams in the Big Ten.
Rutgers.
Say Rutgers, Ohio State. Anyways, so – yeah, I'm a little salty in my show. We do refer to the Buckeyes as the Suckeyes up here. So I put that in my notes on a couple places there. So, All right, real quick, we're going to go into the quarterbacks. There's a lot of there's some good quarterbacks in the Big Ten. So, Andrew, who is your bye quarterback in the Big Ten?
Yeah, my bye is someone who we haven't really seen a whole lot of apart from being in Georgia, this small little tidbit we got of him, but Justin Fields. A lot of people forget that he was ranked higher than Trevor Lawrence coming out as a high school senior and going into college. Really think Ryan Day is going to really take that offense and just build it around him and J.K. Dobbins. He's got fantastic receivers led by K.J. Hill, and then he's got a pretty decent tight end that I'm sure we're going to talk about a little bit later in Luke Farrell. So he's got all the weapons around him to succeed and really develop. I think he's definitely, when he gets to the pros, he's going to be more of a Dwayne Haskins prospect type than a Cardale Jones type or a J.T. Barrett. I think he's got a fantastic arm. Running-wise, it'll be interesting to see how his decision-making and that develops, but I think he's one that everyone's kind of forgot about, and he'll kind of get better this year especially.
Right. I was talking to Crime Dog before the show about that. He's my buy as well, and it's just simply a price issue. Like, I'm in a Devy auction right now, and I got him for – I think the final number was 165, and Trevor Lawrence went for 290.
Oh, geez.
So I'll take Fields all day at 160, all day. That's just crazy to me. And I do like Ryan Day. He teaches a different type of deep of offense there. They run more like a pro concept, especially on third downs and things like that. So I like what he can do. And I think that I'm going to say he's the most talented quarterback that Ohio State has had for quite some time. I don't know how far you want to go back, but I don't remember that as good of a quarterback prospect in Ohio State as what he is. So, Crime Dog, who do you have for yourself or your bye? Sorry.
My buy, I'm a little biased in my buy, but Adrian Martinez from Nebraska, he went to Clovis West High School, like five blocks from my house. So it's a name that I've been paying attention to for a long time. He had a great freshman year, and obviously he's not the name like some of these other guys are that we're talking about, but had a really good freshman year with the first-year head coach Scott Frost in Nebraska, 17 passing TDs and 8 on the ground. And he's not like a no-name guy. He was a seventh-ranked quarterback coming out of high school last year. The 2018 class. So I feel like he's underrated still. So he's a guy that I'm trying to buy because you're getting him dirt cheap, I think, still right now. And it's one of those, you know, sit and wait. And I feel like his value is just going to grow.
Right. He's a guy I like quite a bit as well. I almost put him in there. He's athletic. He's athletic and he's got just a huge arm, a huge, huge arm. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do this year. I think Nebraska's headed in the right direction, but they lost. They don't have a lot at running back right now. So I'm curious to see how they're going to evolve around him and how defenses are going to adjust to him as well.
Yeah.
But I really like him quite a bit. So, Andrew?
Yeah, he was the only reason I watched Nebraska last year. I mean, I was interested a little bit with Scott Frost going there, and then they kind of didn't win a game for a while. But Martinez made that team fun to watch still. Like, yeah. Despite not performing very well, he was a lot of fun to watch.
Right, and they end up with a pretty good recruiting class this year. So,
yeah
I think it's
Scott Frost was recruited very well.
Before we get in the cells, I had one more buy. I got a homer pick from Brian Lewerke. He was hurt all last year. I mean, it didn't look right. I hope that he turns it around. If he does, I think he has the tools. He's not going to be a starter at the NFL level, I don't think, but he has a lot of the tools that you want. In 2017, he threw for almost 3,000 yards with 20 touchdowns. And then he ran for almost 600 as well. He's a mobile guy with a pretty good arm. He didn't seem as accurate last year. Like, he just seemed everything was off. So I hope he can turn it around, but I think you can get him dirt cheap. And he's a guy that was getting some buzz going into last season, and last season was just ugly. Got to get my homer pick in. Andrew, who do you have for a sell in the Big Ten?
I've got the least favorite quarterback I think I've ever heard a man talk about. With my man Dan Barnes, I've got Shea Patterson.
Dude, he lit him up last episode. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. While I love the prospects of Shea Patterson improving this year, I hope that Jim Harbaugh realizes, okay, I've got my first real good quarterback, and he tried my system last year, and it just didn't work. I've got Tariq Black. I've got McKeon, my tight end. I've got Donovan Peoples-Jones. Let me just give him the ball, throw him in shotgun, just let him just do whatever he wants to do. I don't care if it's air raid. He needs to just let him pass the ball, especially with their leading rusher not coming this year because he's academically ineligible. So I think if Jim Harbaugh can get out of Shea Patterson's way, he'll be okay. But he's my sell, so I don't see that happening. I see them having another bad year. I see Patterson's pro prospects not really developing. And I could see Jim Harbaugh getting fired this year. So that's why Patterson's a sell for me.
Yeah, I have him as my sell also. I just don't see it. When I see a good backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get the ball out quick enough. He doesn't read defense as well. He tends to zone in on targets. He seems to disappear like for long stretches of time. And where he's just not an effective quarterback. Like he'll be great for like a quarter, and then he'll just for another quarter. I don't know. I just don't see that you know, that instinct to just kill, you know, that you want in a quarterback, you know. So I don't know about kill, but you know what I mean. So anyways, Crime Dog, kind of, what is your sell? And you kind of alluded before the show that maybe not really a sell, kind of.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this, the only reason I put Justin Fields as a sell is just because of maybe the return you can get on him now. I was saying that, though, I think it's a bad time to sell. And I realized that after all those show notes went together, and I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, that's probably a bad sell, but probably could get some quality actual NFL assets now. And we talked similar about this with Lawrence last week. He still got 2 years minimum before he could even see an NFL field, maybe three. So if you could get something back for Justin Fields, that's valuable now, I guess. But, you know, hindsight, I would rather hold on to him or try to buy him at this point in time, maybe to sell next year.
Right.
Just to get the better return on investment. But a fantastic talent, and I actually like the guy. But just thinking of how to get some value back from some of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, we talked last week, you know, how you could kind of probably get, you know, like a Andrew Luck or something for a – you know, we threw that out there for Trevor Lawrence. And I think you can get one of the aging guys for Justin Fields if you needed it, you know, like a Roethlisberger or Rivers or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
You could get, but I don't think anybody's going to trade, you know, like I don't know. You know, maybe Matt Ryan, but I don't think I'd trade Matt Ryan for him. That's probably anybody below Matt Ryan. I can see where you would sell him, but I do think his value is just going to go up, so.
You know, it's one that popped up that I kind of liked as an interesting prospect is Zach Anakstad from Minnesota. Has the bloodlines. His dad played. His uncle played. He actually played pretty well last year in like a split role as they were developing that thing. But with the Tyler Johnson highlight, and I'm sure we'll see it this year even more as he's like becoming like a household name, I'm sure Anakstad will be more highlighted because of his association with Tyler Johnson. So that's another name I thought maybe should go on some radars.
I almost threw in Hunter Johnson after transferring from Clemson and going to Northwestern.
Yeah, I think
he's somebody that'll be fun to watch.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering if there's any other draft eligible guys. I was just about to ask you, but kind of Hunter Johnson's an interesting name too. Yeah. He's Northwestern has been anemic on offense for years. So they have a defense. So let's see what they can do with an offense. That would be nice. All right, we'll transition to the running backs now. Crime Dog, who's your buy in the Big Ten for running backs?
I love some Ricky Slade from Penn State. He's a little undersized, and I guess that's one of his knocks, but he's got a lot going for him. He was the number one ranked back coming out of high school. Naturally, he's going to get a bump because of the Penn State, you know, helmet on his, you know, that he gets to wear every week. We saw that in Miles Sanders. Yeah, I like Miles Sanders too, but I feel like he got more credit than maybe he deserved because he followed, you know, he was the successor to Saquon. So I feel like Ricky will automatically get a little bit more because of the Penn State helmet. And he's a great talent, man. I really like what he does with the football when he's got it. And he has a really high upside, from my opinion. So he's a guy I'm trying to buy right now.
And he is actually the only five-star running back in the Big Ten right now. Oh, that was kind of an interesting thing. I read that earlier. Yeah, I watched a little bit of his tape this afternoon because I had to kind of keep up. He hasn't had a lot yet, but I like his feet and how quickly he changes direction at top speed. And he's just so slippery. Yeah. He's got these short legs, but man, you just watch him run. He's fun. He's electric. He's definitely going to get the reins there and be able to run with it. And it seems like they know how to develop running backs. So have you got to watch him much yet, Andrew? Or
I haven't. No,
I mean, I think he only had, 70 rushes last year, if that. I mean,
yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, so I didn't get to find any good high school tape of him either. So but the talent's there. So anyways, Andrew, you're copying me, man. What's your buy?
Last year I watched Ty Johnson, running back from Maryland, and he flashed at times, but at the same time when I was watching, I think Anthony McFarlane was the better running back. And Ty Johnson was selected late. I can't remember who ended up grabbing him. I apologize. But I think McFarlane, he kind of runs a little bright for me at times. Oops, geez. And I just want to see what kind of changes, if any, come around this year for him. I'm just trying to pull up his grade roll. Because, I mean, I got all done with my running backs, and he's in the teens. He's clumped in with a couple other players I don't have rated from. But as far as where he's at, he's right on the fringe of cracking my top 10 if he takes a couple extra improvements this year. I want to see him kind of develop more as a receiver. Everything I saw, he wasn't really involved in the passing game. So that's my biggest thing with him.
Yeah, I thought it was odd that he just gouged Michigan or Ohio State and then didn't play hardly any afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought that was really odd.
That was the game I watched of his, and I was like, my God, I said, I'm watching this. And I try not to think about other players' grades, but like with his, I was like, man, there's no way I can grade him higher than who I have high.
Well, I know
then that second half happened, and I was like, oh, well, I said, there we go.
We were watching a lot of these running backs, and a lot of them, when they played Ohio State, looked better, but not 300 yards, but, you know, like he had, you know. So anyways, I had the same thing. I noticed the upright running, but it didn't seem to affect him that much. Like he's got speed. I mean, that's obvious. But his vision, his footwork, when he shifts gears and the way he varies speeds, the one thing I noticed that his eyes were always forward, and I never saw him take a loss, like ever. Like if he was cutting, even if he tried to go lateral or whatever, he was never going backward, which I don't think I've ever seen in that many runs, that he was constantly going forward. And I thought he was really tough to attack on the open field. So
yeah, he is really tough to tackle in the open field.
He is a little upright, but it did not seem to bother him at all. Like he was still very, very productive running upright. So yeah. Anyways, another guy that I have as a buy is Muhammad Ibrahim, is actually how it's pronounced. I thought it was Ibrahim, but I heard somebody say Ibrahim earlier. And he's the guy, I watched him, and he kind of reminded me, maybe it's just the Minnesota thing. He runs a lot like Lawrence Maroney did back in the day. Really low, very powerful, good vision, second gear. He's always churning forward. He's really hard to bring down. So he didn't catch hardly any passes. That's something you obviously want to see. But he's a guy I've been snapping up in Debbie drafts as well. So guy's kind of climbing the ladder a little bit there in Minnesota. So I don't know if you guys got anything on.
See, I liked him because I liked Rodney Smith the year before. Well, what was supposed to be last year before he got hurt. And so naturally I kind of started watching I can't remember his name. Yeah, Muhammad. So I really like Rodney Smith when he went down with the injury week one at Fresno State, actually. And then Muhammad really took it over and did a fantastic job. So no, I'm excited to see what he does this upcoming year.
All right, Andrew, your sell is quite surprising because I think did Dan Barnes on your show say that he was going to win the Heisman, or did he say Dobbins was going to?
That's Dan Kiefer, who's the resident Wisconsin fan.
Yeah. Anyways, we all have some pretty crazy names for ourselves. So, Andrew, who do you got?
It's funny, we were talking about today, Darnton Taylor on CCS. Not to plug that too much. It's just the conversation, why he's my sell, it plays into. Yeah, like you said, Kiefer has talked about how he thinks he's going to win the Heisman this year. Joked that if he wins the Heisman, he's going to be the first person to drop it on stage. Because fumbling is literally his biggest issue. Like I'm watching his tape, and he's not even touching. The ball comes flying out. Not like it just drops. It like goes forward 10 yards like it's an illegal forward pass. My thing is, if he can shore up his fumbling issues, I just don't want him to get into a system in the NFL to where he fumbles one or two times and a coach gets pissed off about it and is like, you know what, I'm just going to bench you and not give you this second half. And then that second half's an opportunity for someone to just completely steal the job from. That's my thing is you got to stay on the field, and in the NFL you can't fumble or else you're not going to be on the field. If you take away the fumbling, he's my RB1. It's just the fumbling is the biggest issue with him, and that's what coaches are going to really have an issue with.
And after this season, he's going to go into the NFL with 1,000 carries in 3 years.
Yeah, and that's another issue too. And you know how I feel about carries.
Crap out of him. But I worry just a little bit about that. And that system tends to churn out really productive running backs in college and that don't necessarily translate to the NFL. I mean, Melvin Gordon was good, but they've had a lot that were not good or were good in short flashes. So Ron Dane, I don't know if you guys probably, I'm drawing a blank, but I know there's been several other ones that were not as good in the NFL. So
Ron Dane's the easiest example.
Yeah. Okay, Crime Dog, you and I both have different Ohio State running backs. Go ahead with yours. I want to hear your reasoning behind this. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, so it's obviously there's a lot of talent here. He's got great size, but I put myself as Master Teague, going to be sophomore running back at Ohio State. His buzz is just growing by the day, I feel like. I see more and more little threads on him on Twitter, and he's becoming a name that people are trying to chase. So that's kind of my sell premise. But I'm hearing like he's running a 4.3 at 211 pounds, all this. Like there's a lot of potential there. He's obviously going to see not minimal usage, but, you know, a lesser usage with J.K. Dobbins, who I actually like, who you'll be talking about in a minute. But he's also 2 years out. So it's just one of those things where because there's buzz around it, I'm thinking you could sell for something now or same thing. It's just the same concept what we're talking about. Try to get something, either somebody that's coming out this year or use them to package up to get somebody who just came out from the previous class, something like that. But right. Yeah, it's more of a name sell right now for me.
Right. I read a lot about him too. And like the freak combine that he did one in USC. And then he came to Ohio State and did the same thing, like 4.3 numbers that would have put him better than any running back in the class that year that was going into the NFL that year. Like his numbers, and he's just a freak athlete that seems like a complete back. Well, why isn't he not on the field? Especially last year when JK was not great. You know, why didn't they bring out Master much? You know, so, and then is he going to get a chance this year? You know, like, so, but I can definitely see if anybody's interested in the name, go ahead and sell him. But I'm curious as to what you would get for him at this point. Honestly, I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I hope you'd get something for him. Because he's got the pedigree and he's a freak athlete, just absolute freak. So, all right, my sell is actually J.K. Dobbins, and it's not because I hate the Buckeyes. I do. Can he be what we saw this freshman season? I mean, he looked like a totally different running back last year. He had flashes of it, and there was no reason why. As good as their passing offenses was, he should have had just gaping holes and easy pass to run through. I like a lot of what I see on tape, but he doesn't seem elite at anything. He's patient at times. He's strong at times. His pass catching is actually pretty good, better than I thought it would be. But I just don't know if any of it's elite. Like, I think he can be a solid running back in the NFL. But I don't know. I've seen people say he's going to – was it – who – I thought it was Dan Barnes that said that there was going to be a Big Ten running back that won the Heisman, but it wasn't going to be Jonathan Taylor. It was going to be J.K. Dobbins. I thought that was last – yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, listen, because he's a Michigan fan, and I was making fun of him for giving him love.
And, I mean, those guys all coming out next year are going for crazy amounts of money right now. So if you've got depth on your Devy squad at running back, you know, definitely these guys, you know, your Cam Akers, your ETN, all your guys that are coming out next year are fetching, like, crazy amounts of money. So if you wanted to sell any of them, I would understand to an extent because the chance of all of these guys being as successful as they look in college is very, very slim. I mean, that's kind of a PSA, but, you know, anyways. So anything – what do you see on tape when you watch them, Andrew? I know you're studying pretty good right now, right?
Yeah, with Dobbins, my biggest thing is – and I tweeted about it. I said he kind of has the patience at the line of Le'Veon Bell. His pass catching isn't in that same – range, but Connor Rogers threw out when I said that, he's like, I like the comp Doug Martin to him, which obviously he's bigger than Doug Martin. I liked it a lot when I heard it. So I think for him, it's one of those things where, which Doug Martin are you going to get? And it's kind of funny because you don't know what J.K. Dobbins you're going to get. Are you going to get the week one freshman year, Virginia Tech, or Indiana, excuse me, he ran all over? Or are you going to get the one that got beat up by Mike Weber last year? So this year is going to be really, really big for him. running backs you don't see come back a lot for senior seasons. But if he doesn't impress this year, I could see him staying, just trying to boost that stock. But I think NFL teams will be in love enough with his size and his metrics and everything. He'll be okay. But he needs to be one of those guys where if you're selling him, you need to sell him now, because he might turn into a buy after a good year or even a bad year.
Right. Because I think if he has another, you know, not bad year, but, you know, not a great year, he may decide to opt to come back. But will he be able to hold off that stable behind him? You know, like, eventually those young guys are going to start, you know, really showing out. So, yeah, it'd be risky if he doesn't. It's going to be fun to watch this year to see what he does. Anything else, guys? Any other names in the Big Ten running backs that you thought about adding on your buys and sells?
I'm going to add, and this is obviously with an asterisk, and I think Andrew and I talked about before, but Maurice Washington from Nebraska had a fantastic freshman year, had some issues off the field this past offseason that he's working through now, and who knows if he gets suspended or what. But he was fantastic last year, and I feel like he's a talent that will continue to grow. He wasn't even grown into his own body last year. He looked awkward at times just because of how young and immature he was, but he flashed a lot. He, you know, somebody that I've paid attention to since he was in junior high. So if he could stay out of trouble and get this thing past him, then he's for sure on, like, you know, highlighted on my watch list.
Right. I didn't know what was going on with him. So that's one of the things I wasn't sure. I hadn't heard anything since stuff surfaced a while ago. So have you heard anything on that, Andrew? Or
I was just looking to, while you're talking, Matt, I saw that he might be entering a plea. So who knows? I just think with what – I take that back. I would hope with what he did, teams take that into consideration. But obviously Frank Clark, Tyreek Hill, and all of them have jobs. So he might be fine. He might be a star in the NFL.
You never know. Okay. All right. Yeah. Who knows? So that was, another name that I know is there, but I just didn't know what was going to go on with him. So, all right. We'll transition over to the wide receivers next. There are some wide receivers that I am absolutely in love with. I'm going to go first because I love my boy Garrett Wilson. I mean, if you have not had a chance, watch some of this kid's tape from high school, watch what he did in the spring game. Just watch this kid. He is absolutely phenomenal. I think he's the best wide receiver that came in as a freshman this year. Probably my top freshman. As one of the questions that came in from our listeners, who's our favorite freshman? It's Garrett Wilson, man. He doesn't have that size. I mean, he's like 6'2", I think, right on the nose almost. He was the first early enrolled freshman to lose the black stripe at Ohio State this year. What that means is they have to play with a black stripe. Most don't lose the stripe until their sophomore year. And he lost it, even before the spring game. He is just so mature, and he watches these contested catches. The way he adjusts the ball in the air is just ridiculous. I don't remember ever seeing a kid at that age adjust the way he does the ball. And he gets everything that's thrown his way because of it. He runs routes good. He's also got good footwork, and he is a nightmare after he gets the ball. So I think another one, I said the thing about the quarterbacks, I think he's the best wide receiver that Ohio State's had in an extremely long time. I'm even going to say possibly ever. Like, I really, really love this kid. And I think the sky is the limit for him. So I think he's a guy I'm absolutely in love with in the Big Ten, and a guy I'm buying every place I can. So you guys got anything on him, or you just going to let me ramble for 10 minutes?
Hey, you love him, so I didn't want to interrupt that little session you were having.
I know. Me to love an Ohio State suck guy is pretty – it doesn't happen very often. So.
Yeah, that tells you enough right there.
Yeah, all right. We'll start with Crime Dog, because I kind of like yours. That's a name that I think doesn't get enough buzz either.
Yeah, so my buy is Justin Shorter from Penn State. And there's a couple of things going on here. He redshirted last year. And a couple of guys in front of him transferred out this past season. So Juwan Johnson transferred out. Brandon Polk transferred. And he was the number one ranked receiver coming out. Man, he's like a beast. He's 6'4", 225. So he's huge. Well, now we'll be redshirt freshman. A stud, man. He looks excellent. We don't have any tape on him from college. I mean, he played like one game last year and had like two catches, and they redshirted him. But he looks phenomenal. His highlight tape, high school tape, I'm sorry. So fluid with that body size. And that's something that usually my eye catches and what I'm looking for, but I'm very excited to see what he could do. I think he's obviously got a clear path to be their lead dog now. And Penn State has just put out, I don't know, for the past how many years, I feel like Allen Robinson kind of started this wave, or is A-Rob, then Godwin, Deshaun Hamilton, and it's just somebody every year that comes out and is an impact. And Justin Shorter could be, I mean, he's probably better than all of them. So I'm really excited to see where his future kind of leads. And he's definitely somebody I want to buy now before the hype, or not the hype, but the attention gets too close on him.
Right. I think you can still get him pretty cheap. My show note says holy acceleration Batman for him. And that's one thing that popped on tape. I saw a tape of one of the plays in high school where he caught a screen behind the line and he was to full speed, like within a half a yard or a yard. It was insane how quickly he accelerates. I mean, that's probably a bit of an overstatement, but I mean, I'm talking like before he got back to the line of scrimmage, he was at full speed and it was crazy to watch. I'll see if I can find it and show it, send it to you guys. It was, you're just like, wow. Because everybody else is waiting for a screen to set up, and this guy's 20 yards downfield. You know, like you're like, holy shit!
And he's not like a little Tyreek, fast guy. He's a big dude. He's big,
and he really understands what the defense gives him, which I thought was pretty cool, especially in high school. He does catch with his body a little too often, but that's something that could easily be taught. So
yeah.
Anyway, Andrew, who do you got for a buy in the Big Ten?
My buy is someone who, and we talked about it, a name on the cusp of becoming a no. He's kind of already there because he could have declared last year. Tyler Johnson returning to Minnesota for his senior year. I really think just because this receiver class is so deep, he's really getting buried in it. I mean, for me personally, with my receivers, I've got Tyler Johnson. He's my wide receiver 6 right now. But, I mean, he's behind names like CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, LaVisca Chenault, Jerry Jeudy. So it's just one of those things. I guess I can't count. He's my wide receiver 5. But regardless, it was like if he would have come out last year, he probably would have been the number one receiver taken, especially after seeing what happened with Marquise Brown with the foot, DK Metcalf drop, Kelvin Harmon drop. Who knows why he went back? It could have been for so many different reasons. Financially, I think he should have come out. But if he loves the school and he loves PJ Fleck, then obviously he made the right decision. But he's someone that I'm really excited to see in Mobile because I think he's definitely going to be a Senior Bowl invite guy. I'm really excited to see him at the Combine because I think he's going to test off the wall. So I think for Tyler Johnson, he's one that take advantage of how deep this wide receiver class is and buy him.
I put Tariq Black as another one, and I know that feeds into Dan Barnes too because he drafted him over like a ton of really good receivers in you guys' draft that you did on the last show. He's a guy that the talent is there. He's an elite, elite talent. Like he was only a 4-star and he was considered to be after Donovan Peoples-Jones, but a lot of people thought he was more talented, but he's just been hampered by injuries. He's really smooth. He's just such a smooth. Like that's what I noticed. And he runs routes, great hands, great. He creates separation really well. And he also had really good acceleration, but he's just got to get on the field, So I think you can still get him fairly cheap. Andrew, you have the same sell as me. I'm curious here why you would like to sell this guy.
I think my thing is within my sells Donovan Peoples-Jones. It's not that I don't like him. He's actually my wide 6, not Tyler Johnson. I think he's a sell for me because I think he's going to fall in the draft a little bit, which means he could get buried on a depth chart. I think Shea Patterson's not going to have the best year. So I think that's going to hurt him in the Devy rankings and his prospects there. So while he's still high and he's coming off a pretty solid year, I think that's why he's going to be a sell for me. Not that he's a bad player. Obviously, he's a top 10 receiver next year, in my opinion, so far. It's just the situation. I think it's one of those things where you get out of a relationship before it gets real bad. It's one of those things you got to kick him to the curb while you still can before he really hurts you. And then you lose that piece of your heart forever.
What I noticed that he's extremely versatile. He's overall really good, but he just doesn't stand out. Like I felt like he just kind of was there. Like he made plays, but he didn't make like huge plays. I didn't see any time where he just absolutely toasted a defensive back, or he made this like crazy insane catch. And that's not a bad thing, but it just didn't overwhelm me when I watched him either. Yeah, because I think he'll be a solid wide receiver. I wasn't overly impressed with him when I've seen him play. So That was it. Crime Dog, we're just going to ignore yours. So you're insane. All right, go ahead.
I love this, by the way.
No, y'all,
yeah, so
you're nuts.
My sell, much to the dismay of Dwight, is Rondell Moore. And not because I would be wanting to go sell him. Like, if I had him on my team, I'm not just out like, oh, he's on the block, like, come get him. But a lot of what we're talking about last week with Justin Ross, he's going into a sophomore year, still got two more years before he could even be NFL eligible. A gigantic name value he brings in right now. He's a stud, but, you know, there's a lot could happen between now and then, and I feel like you can go get a piece right now that can help you win a championship this year in a fantasy league, which is why we do it, at the end of the day. So not that I don't like him. I actually love him. He's a stud. I've been a fan just like everyone else when he hit the field, you know, week one of last year. And, just go get yourself an NFL asset today is really the only thing. Just, you know, it's the flipping value for me.
I just love him, and I don't know if I'd sell him because I think he's just going to get better. And
yeah.
With Rondale Moore, I think the hype's a bit over the top at this point. And I think that's another reason why you got to take advantage of him as a sell, because there's going to be people paying insane prices for him. And his size is still a concern, as much as the right. NFL is kind of shying away from it. You have to be realistic and look at it from that perspective to where, what role is he going to have in the NFL? I think his first couple years, he's going to be a special teams guy, and he's going to be a home run threat type of guy. In college, he's proven to be more than that, but I'm just saying he's going to be one of those guys where I think he's going to be mentioned as the is-going-to-be type prospect, not like a guarantee type like a Justin Ross, in my opinion.
Right, and he's being mentioned right up there in rankings. So
yeah, as far as Devy goes, he's insanely high.
Like top 10 overall asset.
Yeah.
So I guess I can understand that to an extent. I also had KJ Hill as a sell just because I think he's getting a little too much hype right now. He's a smart veteran wide receiver. He should be the top option in that offense this year. He's a good route runner. He doesn't have like this huge route tree or anything, but he's a natural ball catcher. But I just didn't see a lot of the big playability and stuff. I think he's an all right. He'll be an all right receiver, but I think if people are thinking he's like going to be the next one up, that's just going to destroy in Ohio State. So I'm kind of curious. You're probably looking at him right now too, Andrew. What did you see on tape from KJ?
Yeah, my thing with KJ Hill is when I was watching Paris Campbell, like Paris Campbell is a very good receiver, very good prospect, and I think he's a perfect fit for what Indianapolis, as far as a weapon for that offense. I think KJ Hill is one of those guys where you could draft him in the NFL and he's going to have a number two role right away. He could be a home run threat. You could put him inside. You could put him outside. He has a lot of flexibility as far as that goes. But what he does after the catch is what the really impressive part is for me. And he's another one of those guys that's going to be a senior. And you know me and my Senior Bowl guys. I think he'll be another Senior Bowl guy. So I think it'll be fun watching him go up against cornerbacks like Bryce Hall in practice, down in Mobile if they're against each other. That's where he's really going to thrive, because the Big Ten – you've got a couple decent prospects, but I think somewhere like that is where you're really going to see his in the one-on-one drills is where he's going to be a lot of fun. The process is going to be really big for KJ Hill. In season, his stats are going to be great, and he's going to look good. But what he does in the process, he's going to be one of those guys that starts out outside of a top 10 ranking, but then he'll jump up in it immediately.
You mentioned the Senior Bowl every time we talk about seniors. And this is probably one guy that will go. Like, I think he'll need that extra bump. You know,
yeah,
I think he's
a Shrine Game guy, PA Bowl.
He'll be a Bowl guy. Unless he, for some reason, declines it to train, he should be at the Senior Bowl. Is there any other wide receivers in the Big Ten you guys thought about potentially buys and sells?
I was kind of wondering why you didn't bring up Jalen Naylor from Michigan State.
I really don't know, honestly.
I just thought for sure he'd be like a buy for you, like a stash anyways, with this prospect, you know, outlook anyways. But no, it's a name that came up that I thought I put on my list, but I was like, oh, I think Dwight's got this one covered. But
no, I'm all about Cody White, baby.
There you go.
Who's the – oh, J.D. Spielman from Nebraska is kind of an interesting prospect too. All right, tight ends. There's usually – tight ends in the Big Ten are usually – I mean, obviously Iowa pumps them out. Usually some pretty good tight ends that come out of the Big Ten division. Andrew, who's a buy for you in the Big Ten?
Buy for me, and someone who I haven't watched a whole lot of. I've kind of been limited to what I've seen when I watch Purdue and some highlights. But Bryson Hopkins has the size and the pass catch, I think, to be a very productive NFL tight end. 6'5", 245 is what he's listed at. Guess what? He's a senior. Guess what? He tight end class isn't very deep this year. Jim Nagy's going to be looking for some tight ends for Mobile. He's already put them on his watch list. We're going to see how many episodes I can give in a row without mentioning the Senior Bowl. But as far as Bryson Hopkins goes, I really like – he catches with his hands. He turns upfield smoothly. And his vision's pretty good too. He's another one of those guys where after the catch is where he really impresses me, to where he doesn't have like burner speed, but he could put on the jets to kind of get by a defender and gain a couple extra yards. And he's got the size to be a red zone target.
Nice. Crime Dog, who do you got, man?
Put my list here. So I like Jack Stoll from Nebraska. And I was watching Bryson Hopkins tape right now, so I got distracted. But one, I mean, I got to give him the nod. He's got the mullet, so he kind of looks like Tyler Eifert in a way. And he actually plays like him a little bit, but he's good-sized dude. I like his quarterback, obviously, who we talked about. So that's kind of a bump there, especially with losing Stanley Morgan. I feel like he should see more looks. And not that tight ends need to have a ton of stats in college to move forward, but he's got the prototypical NFL size. And he's another one who's really fluid when he runs, even though he's 250 pounds. So not a lot of tape on him because, I mean, I think he only had like 20-something or 30-something catches last year. But he looks good doing it. So he's somebody that I'll be trying to stash and look forward to seeing what he does this season.
Right. And I've got Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin. He had offers from all the big tight end schools, Iowa, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. And he looked – in spring practice, he looked absolutely unstoppable. He's a four-star guy. He actually came from Madison. He – went to high school in Madison. His senior year in Madison, he caught 1,800 yards and 15 touchdowns. I mean, he's just athletic as hell. He does things that wide receivers do. Like, he looks more like a wide receiver the way he catches the ball and runs routes and things like that. So you like that. But he's got to add some bulk on to be like, should be really good, you know. But he's just a guy that the ceilings is the limit with him, and a guy that I think is going to start popping up on watch lists and everything. So I really like Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin. And did you have a – who's your sell in the Big Ten, though?
My sell is Sean McKeon. My thing with him is tight ends for Michigan, you had Jake Butt, who projected to be a top prospect until he tore his ACL in the bowl game. Zach Gentry last year got drafted by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh knows what they're looking for in tight ends and knows how to develop them. So I think he's going to be okay there. We haven't really seen the production from him, and we haven't seen a lot of playing time from him because he's been behind those two other stellar guys. He's a senior. I'll be honest, sound the alarm here. I don't know if he makes it to Mobile. He might be one of those guys that does an East-West Shrine game or an NFLPA Bowl and then maybe gets an invite to one of the bigger ones. But as far as this year, I don't think Patterson targets his tight ends that much, which, again, is going to hamper him. But who knows, with them not really having much of a running game coming back this year, he might be forced to become more of a pass catcher. So he's one to where he's a sell for me now, even if you have him in a league. I don't know, if I'm just being honest. But he's not worth, I think, keeping on a Devy roster at this point just because Michigan's the biggest question mark in the Big Ten. They're either going to win the Big Ten or they're going to be a crapshoot.
Yeah, I think if you're chasing that next Michigan tight end, he's probably one that was rostered. But, yeah, I totally agree there.
My sell is Ohio State guy Luke Farrell. 6'5", 250. There's a bunch of good tight ends in that program right now. I was actually talking on the DLF page about they got Jeremy Ruckert, who's the freshman last year, the fifth-rated Devy tight end on their website, who's playing behind Farrell. You want to call him Farrell. He has some name value. I think he's good. He will be fine. There's a ton of receivers there. We talked about all these receiving running backs that they got as well. I just think maybe he could provide a little bit of sell value. I know it's hard in this category sometimes, but I'm just not sold. So if I could move on from him for anything, I would. Just because I don't even think he's the best tight end on his team, but he's starting there, so there's something there.
Right. Yeah, we'll go with Farrell because I think Farrell is the one that sings the happy song. Because I'm happy. Oh, geez. Wife, settle down. Anyways. All right. For my cell, I got Pat. Don't even ask me how to say his last name, I guess. Freiermuth. from Penn State. You see him getting a lot of buzz as a guy to watch, and I just don't see it. He's like a safety blanket tight end, good blocker. I don't see him ever being anything in the NFL. That's basically all I've got on him. I've seen him as a sneaky buy, you know, as type of tight end that you want, and I just don't see it when I watch him. He's a good, you know, go 6 yards and catch a first down here and there, but in today's day and age, that's not, you know, you don't want that in your tight end, especially for Dan, for Devy or for fantasy. So I don't see it when I see him play. So is there any other tight ends you guys thought of in the Big Ten?
No, I got a tight end class for me, at least 20 is what I'm really looking at, and it's pretty thin. I think coming up in Devy is going to be where it's going to get better, which is obviously right. What we're talking about.
Right. I don't like, even when I was going through Iowa's roster and researching theirs, you know, they don't even have any with like that big pedigree. You know, I'm sure they'll develop one.
Yeah, that's the thing. Once they get on the field,
it'll be like, eight on their roster right now. I'm like, whoa. So, you know, one of those guys is going to be it. So.
The only other one that caught my eye was Jonathan Lewis, who is a transfer, I believe, if I'm mixing these up now, from Wisconsin, because he was behind Jake Ferguson to Rutgers, and he was a former quarterback. So he's, you know, I don't know, former quarterbacks kind of transfer over, knows the game a little bit better potentially, but it wasn't like, you know, jumping off the page. It just kind of caught my eye a little bit.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our buys and sells for the Big Ten. We got a couple listener questions. First is our boy Mike LaValle, who's with us at DHH. Who is one name on the cusp of being a name to know in the 2020 class? Andrew, I'm dying. What do you think, man? You're deep into this class.
I think a name, and it's – I was kind of torn. I was looking at running backs. I was looking at wide receivers. I'm looking at quarterbacks. I didn't look at tight ends. just a couple names to kind of keep in mind. I think Riley Neal at quarterback, being at Vanderbilt, he's going to go in there and has a lot of weapons, one of which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Keyshawn Vaughn, Jared Pinkney, the tight end. What's the
Elijah Lipscomb?
Yes, him. So he's got the weapons around him to succeed and really take the next step. He was at Ball State, so he transferred down to Vanderbilt this year. Another one for running backs, Greg McCray. We've talked about him a little bit before on our non-Power 5 at UCF. I like him a lot. LaMichael P. Ryan at Florida. I'm a bit of a homer pick there. I really think LaMichael P. Ryan's going to
– LaMichael. All right. LaMichael? What?
LaMichael, whatever it is. LaMichael.
No, it's LaMichael. It's Michael. I'm just an idiot. Yeah.
And then for receiver, I'm going to throw this out. I noticed him when I was watching Jalen Hurd last year, and he's another one of the guys where he could have come out last year, but he went back, and I'm interested to see what happens with him, is Denzel Mims, wide receiver out of Baylor. He has some insane getup. I can't wait to see what his vertical tests out to be, but his red zone sideline presence is what was really impressive to me when I was watching him. I believe I watched him against Texas. He had several big catches in that game, so – those are a couple names for me that I think can take the next step. But Denzel Mims, out of all those, is probably my favorite to watch. And he's a top 10 receiver for me right now.
All right, I'm just going to go off on my side of the ball here. AJ Epenesa is going to possibly break the NCAA record for season sacks. I mean, he is absolutely unreal. And I know we're not supposed to go defense, but that's just what I'm working on right now. You are going to know his name. And he's not talked about enough. Is we don't even stick to football, doesn't talk. They talk about Grant Delpit being the only guy that could do defense for Heisman. I think Epenesa could put that. He could possibly make a run at the Heisman as well. So that's my name. Everybody's going to know his name. Even if you don't play IDP, you're going to know who AJ Epenesa is after this season. You got anybody's crime dog?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going as deep as Andrew, but I think we mentioned him last week's show too. But Bryan Edwards is a guy who – He's obviously on some people's radar, and he's obviously been talked about, but I feel like he can make a huge jump this year to kind of boost himself into that, maybe not top tier, but definitely in the conversation with some of these other guys on that wide receiver 5 to, you know, whatever range. So I feel like he could do the most for himself this year to really put him up there, because he has all the ability to be considered a top 4 or 5 receiver in next year's class if he does enough this year to show that. And I love hearing everything like Adebo Samuel, Andrew's guy, talking about him and just bolstering and, you know, pumping up his name like more so than himself. So he's obviously a favorite of mine, so I think he could do a lot for himself this year.
Have you, you said you'd watch some of the linemen, Andrew. Have you watched Epinesi yet?
I haven't. I've only watched, I consider him more of an edge. I've only watched like interior defensive linemen. So I've got like Raekwon Davis, Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
Players like that.
Gotcha.
Epinesi I'm interested in though, because I was talking to Mello about him. Yeah. And Mello is a little underwhelmed with him. Chase Young is better. So I'm interested to see what I see and then have that discussion with them.
I think Chase might be a little bit more complete. He plays the run a little bit better. But I do think the single season record is 24, set by Terrell Suggs in 2002. And I don't think – I mean, he had 10.5 last year and barely played half the – I don't think he either just missed half the snaps or less than half. Like, he is awesome. Like, he's so much fun to watch. So anyways, I don't – I'll try not to mention defense too much in the show unless we're really going that way, you know, on an episode or something. So, all right, Zach Thomas asked us, who are you most excited about coming into their freshman year of college? Crime Dog, you got anybody?
I like John Emery, LSU running back, a lot. You know, obviously they're like RBU, it seems like, lately. But kid's a stud. He's got the size. I presume, you know, him to be an impact from day one. And he's definitely somebody I'll be keeping a close eye on and trying to get now before that value skyrockets.
One for me, just because it's an Alabama running back, Trey Sanders coming in. If you got running back, he's going to Alabama. Odds are he's going to be a stud eventually. So I'm interested to see, because after Najee Harris, he is really, I think, going to be the bell cow this year. I think you get a little bit of Sanders in as a taste. And then if he takes over for him, I think he'll really excel. So Trey Sanders is someone I like a lot coming in.
Right, that's a good one. And you've got to get those guys now, because in 2 years, you're not going to be able to get them. Like, you know, for you'll be paying the ETN prices that you're paying right now. So, or the, yeah, so you got to get them now if you're going to get them. And I'm Garrett Wilson. I already talked about it. So Marcus Liams or Eames asked, which Oklahoma University running back do you like best? Andrew, you got one you like better? Or?
Ironically, I have them both graded the same right now with Kennedy Brooks and Trey Sermon. I give the head to Trey Sermon. I just like his running style and pass catching a little bit more. But I think both are going to be decent. It's just going to be a matter of who kind of takes from the other this year. So, and I think with Jalen Hurts, you're going to see a lot more running this year out of Oklahoma and a lot more of option stuff. So I'm interested to see who fits in well with him.
Crane Bell, you got one you like better? Or?
I think Andrew said it. I'm pretty much there. I like them both. I would give the nod to Trey Sermon, though, for me right now.
Okay. Yeah, not one sticks out better. Kennedy Brooks looked hella good last year. So, like, I don't know. I kind of have seen him a little more on the NCAA field, but Trey Sermon is, yeah. And TJ Pledger's coming up too, but I don't think he's quite the pedigree as those two. So, yeah, like that. This next question is from Zach Thomas again. This one is for Andrew specifically. So Matt and I are going to go to the bathroom or whatever we need to do while Andrew answers this. Andrew, I want to hear your breakdown of Keyshawn Vaughn. He graded out pretty solid for me, but I'm not sure. I'm nowhere near as high as you are on him. What does he do well, and what does he need to work on?
Now, this isn't necessarily directed at Zach, but I've had a lot of people say to me, they're like, I'm nowhere near as high on him as you are. I have him at 5. It's not like I have him as my running back 1. I still got Dobbins. I still got Swift. I still got ETN ahead of him. I think he's in – you've got Tier 1, which is all those guys I just named. I think he headlines Tier 2 with a chance to break into Tier 1. And I messaged Thor Nystrom, posted this week his top 15 running back rankings, and he had him at 5. And I messaged him one off. I said, thank God that you're making me look a little bit more sane now. And somebody else who's talked about him too is Connor Rogers. Talked about last year, a lot of teams had a second round grade on him, but he decided to stay in school and surprise a couple people. As far as what my process for Keyshawn Vaughn is, what I love his running ability to where if he needs to break to the outside, he has that ability. He isn't afraid to be a bull and just run you over. If you watch that Baylor game, given it's Baylor, and as we always talk about on the show, the theme of the Big 12 defense is tackling is optional. So as far as that goes, that's not necessarily – that's the best you're going to see. But as far as, like, for scouting, that's not necessarily the best game you want to watch. But in that game, he'll put his head down, he'll put his shoulder down, he'll run you over. And then in the pass catching, he turns upfield very well. Another one who his eyes are always looking all over. His vision's fantastic, both before he has the ball and after he has the ball. But I think my biggest thing for him is kind of seeing what he does when he's in the backfield alone. He doesn't have the quarterback and shotgun. I notice he kind of has a little bit more of an issue kind of finding a hole right away, and that might speak more to his offensive line. That's something I'd like to see him kind of pick up on, is that vision at the line just a little bit better. I think when he's in open field is when he gets really dangerous. And then his pass catching, like I talked about against Baylor, looked phenomenal. He had one big catch against Florida that really caught my eye, the 74-yard touchdown. That's what I want to see. The biggest thing developed for him is that's what Swift has over him. That's what ETN has over him. And that's what Dobbin has over him, is the pass catching ability. If Keyshawn Vaughn can develop a pass catching ability and really get consistent with it this year, Keyshawn Vaughn might be my RB1 by the time we roll around to April. So, and he's another guy that's going to get the process of going down to Mobile, because there's not a lot of senior running backs, because they usually declare early because you don't want to get all the extra touches. But that's the other thing too. He was at Illinois. He was limited by Lovie Smith, and Thor talked about that too in his article. I'll give him credit there. He wasn't very good in Illinois, but then he got into a better offense and he was able to excel. They knew what he was. So I think that's more of a Lovie Smith issue than it is a Keyshawn Vaughn issue. I don't think it's a one-year wonder for him. I think this coming year, he's going to be one of the best running backs in the SEC.
I absolutely agree, man. I think it's hard. You know, people want to knock him down that list because of what's above him and the questions that you brought up. But if you watch the tape, I mean, he is immensely talented. And he's so much fun to watch. And you've got to root for the kid, you know. And you think that if he was playing at Alabama, we wouldn't be asking these questions.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And him in Illinois, he would be one of those guys where you'd be like, well, he's in the Big Ten. He's playing with Illinois. What's he going to do against the big boys? Well, he's in the SEC, and Vanderbilt's not known for their offense. And I feel like I've talked about this until I'm blue in the face too, but they're going to be sneaky good this year. I'm not saying they're in the SEC, East or West, whatever they're in at this point. I can't even remember. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to ruin a lot of teams. Like, I could see them pulling an upset against a team or two and really messing with the rankings. But Vaughn's going to be going up against tough defenses, and he's going to be keep putting up impressive numbers, I think.
His combination of, like, twitchy quickness and power is kind of unique, because you use a lot of one or the other, but not both. And he's got, like, that quick, twitchy, like a little back would, but also the power of a big back. So it's really a great combination that makes for a lot of fun tape watching, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I of course, because I DJ, I can't make it, but Vanderbilt comes up to Purdue, and I'm only like 2.5 hours from Purdue, and I really want to go to that game. I'd love to see Rondale and Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, in one game, that'd be nice.
But, you know, I think I got a DJ. Yep, September 7th. Actually, I think I don't that day. Next question, it comes from DR_DynastyFF. Do you think Jalen Reagor, is that how you guys pronounce it? Reagor. Doesn't get quite the hype because he's at TCU and not Alabama or Clemson. That's hard to answer. I think TCU uses him to his strengths better than Alabama or Clemson would. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but
yeah, I think they use him the best he can because he's their best weapon.
Right.
And for anybody who didn't see when I said I had 2 points, I took a peace sign and I made it angry for your Horned Frog fans. Some people are scared off of him because of what Josh Doctson hasn't been in the NFL, because that's the last big name player you have coming out of that school that's known more for their defensive prowess than their offensive style, especially since Andy Dalton graduated. So for me, I think it's a little bit of people are standoffish because you just don't know, because Josh Doctson was a first round pick when he came out, and everyone thought he was going to be the wide receiver one at Washington, and that never really panned out. And I kind of talked about it. I can't remember where I said it. His game reminds me a little bit of Jarvis Landry, and they're very they're same height. They're very close to same weight. Both are very twitchy, like you talked about, Matt. I love that term with receivers. I think he's one that he needs to have a really big year to get on everyone's watch list, and then you'll kind of see him go up. That being said, he is a top seven receiver for me. So, I mean, I'm aware of him. A lot of people in the draft community are as well. It's just where he's at, I think, with TCU kind of hampers him, like you talked about.
I think he's used well in that offense. They are able to move him around and use that explosiveness that he has. Whereas I'm not sure that Alabama would entertain it as much. I think they would use it, but I think he's getting talked about and he's being drafted or putting it in Devy rankings about where he belongs. I mean, I think he's got size issues, obviously, and people are always going to question that. He's interesting because I tell you what, he is really damn electric. So, like, I don't remember Jarvis Landry being that quite that electric at LSU, but I don't remember him standing out much at LSU either. So.
I think he gets decent height. That's the question's, I guess, a little confusing. He would definitely get – I don't want to say definitely. He would probably get more hype if he was at a big SEC school just because of that, the helmet. But I think he gets plenty hype for what he's done and what he's doing. And, you know, he's going in, like, second round of Devy drafts and stuff. So he's getting enough hype and probably adequate hype, I guess, if we're quantifying it. But
I can't see them going to a bigger school making that much of a difference.
That's
based on the question. All right, last question. Hey, nice. Corrigan underscore tweets. Is this what you were asking me about earlier, Andrew? Or?
Yeah, he was asking me last night. He writes for the Score Crow. He does mostly baseball stuff, I believe.
All right. What are my thoughts on Joe Bocci? He's a friend and former classmate of mine and would like an unbiased opinion of him and his game. All right, Corrigan underscore tweets. Hook me up. I want to interview this guy. I love Joe Bocci. But from an unbiased opinion of his game, he is going to be one of the top inside linebackers that comes into the draft next year. He's the prototypical inside linebacker that they used to be. He makes a lot of tackles. He's like the leader of the defense. I love the way he plays. He's getting better at coverage. Like when he was earlier in his career, you could see that he wasn't asked to do that in high school. Obviously, not many linebackers are asked to cover in high school. He's got enough speed and enough range to do that, but I don't think that's where his calling card's going to be. His calling card's going to be the tackles and the leading the middle of the defense. So he's a guy I love. He's like their spirit. He's like their leader at Michigan State. And like the guys feed off his energy. And I think, you know, Willekes and Raekwon in the middle and stuff. And he's got really good players around him and he leads them, which says a lot to his character. And as far as he's going to make it in the NFL. But yeah, I don't know if he'll ever be like, you know, people want to say like Luke Kuechly, you know, is kind of like the absolute ceiling for what his type of player can be. But obviously, he's not Luke Kuechly. I would say probably a couple tiers down from that. He'll be a good, solid inside linebacker and one that I'll obviously be rooting for. He's a good guy, and I'd love to talk to him someday. Love to have a beer with him. But that's kind of my unbiased opinion of him. So. Andrew will get to watching the linebackers here soon, so I'm curious to see what he says. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't watch defensive players really a whole lot last year. So this year, I'm picking up as much as I can and learning as much as I can from several different people. So I'm excited to watch them.
There's not a lot of great linebackers coming into this class, so like next year. So I'm kind of curious. He'll be one of the top ones, probably. I would guess second. A late second, early third is probably the earliest he would get drafted, is my guess. So I don't know. That's just, yeah. One thing I've been spending so much time on the defensive line lately that I haven't really got to him yet. So I've been just knee deep in the defensive line. I've probably 150 players in now. So too many. But linebackers will be probably next couple weeks. So I'm curious to watch him a little more and step back is more of a, but he's one of my favorite college players. So. I think that wraps it up for this week. We a nice, good, long show again. That was nice, guys. Thank you guys very much. Matt, tell everybody where they can find your work at right now, man.
I'm at DHH, guys, at Commish McGriff on Twitter. Trying to get through a lot of these drafts, so I'm not writing a ton, but still working on that 2020-2019 comparison article with a couple of the other DHH guys. And that's it, man. Catch me on Twitter.
How about that?
Scott Fishbowl, baby. Andrew?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I don't know how much I'll be on for the next couple days. My wife does come back from Hawaii after being gone for a week, so it's only fair that she gets most of my time. It's also why I did 5 podcasts when she's been gone. So you can find me on Twitter when I am on there, though, at ManDrewNFLDraft. I'm still writing for the Scorecrow, still writing for Dynasty Happy Hour. Not doing as much there, but really diving into some 2020 players. Really getting excited for the season to start. I look today, it's 8 weeks out, so please God, just hurry up. I want to watch some Florida-Miami in week zero.
That's going to be a fun game, man. It's amazing that that's what we lead the season off with.
I know. Usually, like, week zero is, like, USC versus UC Santa Barbara or something weird.
Yeah, they usually have one big game, but it's usually not down there, you know. So that's exciting, man. You can find me on Twitter at FFPeoplesChamp. I'm ready for DLF. Like I said, working on this big defensive line article, which I probably need to at some point just say stop and just write what I have. It's fun. So I got that coming down the pipelines and, you know, just in Debbie drafts and stuff, and just love meeting up and talking to you guys. Love that you guys have been sending us so many listener questions. That's so much fun for us. I love it. It takes us out of a little bubble, you know, of our analysis role and makes us think, you know, a little differently. So we really, really appreciate that. You can find, once again, you can find the pod at Debbie Happy Hour, and you can email us at DebbieHappyHour@gmail.com. And we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Next up is the Big 12. So we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.